Geek Radio Daily for not Monday. Because nobody needs to deal with that shit 2 days in a row. Oh, hells no. Not after this weekend. Good morning, hello, and are you still a little hungover? We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all those fantastic places. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that spent a weekend being as charming as he possibly could. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Oh, my, you are an enchanting creature.
Gets me every single time. Hi there. The wonderful Billy Flynn.
You psychotic bungling mortar.
There's no need to call me bungling. I move like a smooth pimp. What happened on this fine day, sir?
Move like pregnant yak. In 1877, Thomas Edison coins the word hello as a greeting as an alternative to the one suggested by inventor Alexander Bell. Ahoy, ahoy. He remarks in a letter to a friend in Pittsburgh, I don't think we shall need a call bell as hello can be heard 10 to 20 feet away. What do you think?
I think Edison took something else and changed it to put his name on it. Also in 1877, Thomas Edison makes the first audio recording in history. The recording is of his voice as he sings Mary Had a Little Lamb, which he wrote, by the way. Don't know if you knew that.
It certainly takes credit for it. In 1899, Henry Ford, age 36, quits his job as the chief engineer at the Edison Illumination Company in order to manage the Detroit Automotive Company. All of our news today is brought to us by Mr. Edison.
1939, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, MGM, premieres The Wizard of Oz, directed by Victor Fleming, among several thousand other people that directed, starring Judy Garland, Frank Morgan, Ray Bolger, Jack Haley, Burt Law, Billy Burke, and Margaret Hamilton. And it works great with Pink Floyd.
1945, the Westinghouse Electric Company first processes a television broadcast system employing aircraft called Stratovision, which could relay signals across the United States.
1947, telephone service is introduced on an experimental basis on moving trains. What?
In 1977, the Big Ear Radio Telescope, operated at Ohio State University by the SETI Project, receives a strong 72-second narrowband radio signal from deep space. The event is named the WOW signal for the notation made by a volunteer on the record of the signal. It will never be detected again and merges perfectly with the soundtrack from Contact.
I thought the WOW signal was when a lady would... Never mind. 1986, Nintendo releases the groundbreaking platform game Metroid for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And when you learn the real ending of that game, a lot of crazy people just died from the shock.
It was kind of a WOW signal for them. 1997, Paramount Pictures releases the science fiction horror film Event Horizon, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson and starring Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill.
I guess you could consider that a guilty pleasure of mine. 2001, the International Space Station briefly floats adrift due to a computer glitch. On board, astronauts use jets on the space station Discovery to restore flight stability.
I'm sure that was shortly after they had to change their space diapers. In 2003, the mission Space, a motion simulator attraction at Epcot, opens to the public. It simulates what an astronaut might experience aboard a spacecraft on a mission to Mars, from the higher G-force of blastoff to the fictitious hypersleep used by passengers to pass time during the journey. I'm assuming they just go in and just club them on the back of the head. The attraction
cool
is sponsored by Hewlett Packard and was constructed at a cost of $100 million and facilitates 1,600 guests an hour.
You better hurry up because they're taking Gary Sinise out of the intro movie. 2005, Andrew J. Steffi discovers the moons of Pluto, Haida, and Nix in images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope.
In 2006, the Voyager 1 space probe, the most far distant man-made object in space, reaches a distance of 100 astronomical units. That's about 15,000 million kilometers, or 9,300 million miles, from the sun, meaning that it is 100 times more distant from the sun than Earth. At such great distance, the sun is merely a point of light. So solar energy is not exactly an option, but having a nuclear power source, Voyager 1 continues to transmit data. The spacecraft, of course, launched nearly 30 years earlier on September 5th, 1977, the same day I was born, and has flown beyond the outer planets and reached the heliosheath, the outer edge of the solar system, where it was picked up by an alien force and then tried to take over the planet.
We got a couple of hundred years. Birthdays?
Alice Englert, 23 years old, from Beautiful Creatures.
Jennifer Lawrence is 27, from X-Men First Class, Silver Linings Playbook, and Winter's Bone.
Oh my gosh, she's so quirky. Emily Kinney, 32 years old. Yes, 32 years old. She's in Masters of Sex, Flash, Arrow, and of course was Beth on Walking Dead.
Wow, 32. Natasha Hinrichs is 43, from Species. I'm sure she did a thing or two, but wow, what did she show us in Species? Everything.
Matthew Wood, 45 years old, a General Grievous in Star Wars. The note says Star Trek. You tried to trip me up.
I did. I wanted to write War Star. Ben Affleck is 45 years old from Mallrats, Chasing Amy, the underappreciated Daredevil film, and of course, Batman versus Hoops.
Anthony Anderson, 47 years old, Kangaroo Jack, Transformers Scream 4, Town That Dreaded Sundown, and Blackish.
Deborah Messing is 49 from Ned and Stacy, The Mothman Prophecies, Will and Grace, Smash, Los Misterios de Laura, and soon to be in Will and Grace.
Zelko Ivanek, 60 years old, Slovenian-American actor from Homicide, Heroes, and Madam Secretary.
Much love going out to Slovenia. We're big. We're huge in Slovenia. Tony Robinson is 71. That's Baldrick from Blackadder.
Jim Dale, 82, from Peach Dragon, Pushing Daisies. Yay, love Pushing Daisies. And, of course, narrates the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Mike Connors is 92 from Mannix and the Extreme Adventures of Super Dave.
I love Super Dave. Rosemarie, 94 years old, from the Dick Van Dyke Show, Sally Duncan Show, and the 98 Psycho.
Well, not everything can be good. And no longer with us, born in 1912, would be Julia Child, American chef and author, and a lady that would always put more sherry into her body than she ever put on a chicken.
I always thought she looked a little too much like Harvey Korman, but I'm surprised to see if Harvey Korman's on TV today. We've got on CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, a rerun of Bull, and NCIS, nope.
ABC, it's a new Bachelor in Paradise, and Somewhere Between.
NBC has a new America's Got Talent and Hollywood Game Night.
On Fox, it's a rerun of Lethal Weapon, The Mick, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
CW has a rerun of The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
On Freeform, Steph makes major headway in her case on a new episode of The Fosters, and Kat's new staffer causes problems on The Bold Type.
Disney XD has the new Ignis show.
On BET, Mary Jane and Justin's relationship. We talk all about it on a new Being Mary Jane.
Comedy Central has the finales of Tosh.0, and I'm going to miss it for a little while until it comes back for season two, The Jim Jeffries Show.
FX will be showing 22 Jump Street, Electric Street. I have no joke for that.
On FXX, we've got Simpsons, Bart's Prank Backfires, and Simpsonrama.
The Futurama crossover, always a good time. FXM is showing Dracula Untold, so when you watch Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, when he grows out at the beginning of the movie, this movie is entirely what happens, and then watch the rest of the movie.
I figure that once you watch Dracula Untold, it's basically the title becomes irrelevant, but history has a new American Ripper.
Speaking of irrelevant, BBC America is showing Van Helsing.
Oh, that's a big, dumb movie. Spike has a new Ink Master and Ink Master Redemption, I guess, where they fixed the thing that went wrong in the previous, yeah. I don't know.
Indeed, Sci-Fi Channel, new episode of Face Off.
Sundance has either Dante's Peak or the other volcano. I don't know. Something happens.
True TV, Adam Ruins What We Learned in School on Adam Ruins Everything. I think it's the animated episode. And a new You Can Do Anything.
Ooh, I love that show. Science Channel has new Unearthed Lost City of the Desert.
But we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a man learns that his seductive wife is responsible for the deaths of her previous husbands.
As it happens.
Blanchard Ryan and Rick Ravinoli, which is great from Chef Boyardee, star in Love to Kill.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
There's no Abby. There's no Chad. There's not even a Sonny. Closest we even get to is Hope, Rafe, and Reigns, the three investigators trying to find out about Dario's partner. That's barely even tangential. We're getting into some hashtag chill whatever territory here. Hashtag Chabby. Forever, hopefully.
No blasted lettuce today!
No, again not, because people are still trying to learn how to censor themselves after having an unfiltered microphone at the roast on Sunday evening. So as soon as people can figure that out, they'll drop themselves a line. If you'd like to send something in, whether you have to censor yourself or not, please do. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We would love to hear what you have to say, and we will do our best not to be dicks and say something sarcastic in response to it. I don't know how well we'll do with that, considering our natural tendencies.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We are 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Greek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. There you go. That's the kind of message that'll wake you up when you're still feeling a little foggy. Welcome back to your Not Monday edition.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you do. You can't help it. You're addicted, you sad son of a bitch. So, what are we going to be adding to our collections? I tell you, it's hard to get that, you know, insulting people out of your system. It really is. I'm sorry about that. I'm working on it. What can we buy today, sir?
Oh, no, in preparation, I bought stock in aloe vera. We've got, from the TV section, we've got Once Upon a Time, Season 6.
The middle, Season 8, which means there's a lot of those seasons, because there's at least 8 more.
The Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2.
NCIS, no, Season 3.
Blacklist, Season 4.
Jumanji, the complete animated series that none of us remembered ever got made.
What? I had no idea that was a thing. Stan Lee's The Lucky Man, Season 1.
Riverdale, Season 1.
Oh, it means I can finally catch up on that. And Bull, Season 1.
From the movies department, Alien Covenant comes to entertain us?
Descendants 2, The Legend of Somebody's Gold.
The Wall, one of the DVD extras is an episode of the Chris Hardwick-hosted game show based off of the movie The Wall.
A lot of people don't realize that's a thing, but we'll probably be watching the movie that features Jack, who inherits his grandfather's dog, Skipper. And with help from the sassy pooch, he learns his grandpa left his treasure hidden somewhere in the town. Jack joins forces with a trio of clever kids to find the booty before thieves make off of it. Norm MacDonald is one of the treasure hounds.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, spoilers! In the season finale of Jessica Jones, Jessica finally got a revenge on Kilgrave, the Purple Man, by using her strength to snap his neck and leaving him very much dead. But then again, it's based on a comic book world. And, you know, just maybe, David Tennant's going to be back, because a set photo was released showing David Tennant and Kristen Ritter on set together, providing absolutely no context for what exactly it was we were looking at. Because in all likelihood, it's just going to be flashbacks to what happened during Jessica's time while she was a captive, good word for it, of the Purple Man. Or maybe he's inside of her head. Maybe she's still trying to come to grips with everything that's happening. Whatever it is, we're going to find out how the hell the Purple Man is walking around with Jessica Jones when the show returns next year. She'll never kill him. Despite her calloused, hard-bitten, and frankly poorly styled facade, despite her several problems, she still hopes that at her core, she just might be a hero.
Boom! Studios have announced plans for a comics miniseries that will combine King Kong and Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Set within the timeline of the original 1968 Planet of the Apes movies, the miniseries will run for 6 issues under the title Kong on the Planet of the Apes. In the comic, Dr. Zaius and General Ursus leading a group of soldiers to the Forbidden Zone, where they discover Kong there, washed up after his previous adventures. The apes then travel to Skull Island to discover the truth of Kong's appearance, but the treacherous journey puts their fates and lives at risk. Ryan Ferrier is penning the mini with art by Carlos Magno, and the comic serves as a direct follow-up to Boom's Kong of Skull Island 12-issue series. Boom Studios has been making some interesting ape stories, examining the characters in the crossovers in some interesting ways. But this crossover exists for one reason. For Aldo or some other general to yell at Kong, "Get your paws off me, you damn dirty me."
Oh, yep, that's the way to write that, yep. If you're on the dating scene, not having a bunch of luck, you've tried all the websites, the apps, the ladies drink free nights, all with no luck, why not try to do things the way they do at the zoo? Zoo director Thane Menard calls a system an animal version of Match.com. They have a system they've come up with at the zoo. It's very carefully decided, a little like Match.com, she says. Who's going to hook up with whom? Because she's a grammar Nazi. It's not exactly like Match.com. Animals are managed through a species survival plan. Committees of animal experts who care for particular species enter records into a database. There are 450 species survival plans, each devoted to a specific species. The database is the only part of the breeding process that is computerized. A recent baby boom at the Cincinnati Zoo has meant the births of several animals, including the world-famous Fiona the Hippo. The process is complicated. Maynard says that the Cincinnati Zoo has a dozen people involved in committees that are charged with the matchmaking decisions. The experts pay special attention to which animals are related in an effort to promote genetic diversity, because you don't need an animal West Virginia. The zoo's Match.com system is vital fail in their effort to save endangered species. Some of you will need more than a 12-person panel, but if you can walk like the animals, match like the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they speak and squawk and squeak and talk to me.
McDonald's teased Rick and Morty and Chicken Nugget fans everywhere last month when they said a few lucky fans would get to experience the glory of Szechuan sauce, a limited edition dip mentioned in the show. But one of the winners has sold the geekiest of prizes for $15,500 on eBay. And it looks like DJ Deadmau5 has won it. I know it's Deadmau5, but come on, he spells it stupid. The fast food brand announced three individual winners of the competition on Twitter at the end of the last month, each of whom received a half-gallon sized Szechuan dipping sauce, apparently the last that had ever been made. Ugh. That was a while ago. All right. One of the winners, writers and podcast host Robert Workman, who Barack Obama follows on Twitter, by the way, however, decided to list his prize on eBay, saying, "No matter what amount it ends up at, I hope it ends up in the hands of someone who will thoroughly enjoy it." And in rather strange turn of events, DJ Deadmau5 got involved in the bidding, and the price soaring up past the $15,000 mark. Workman wrote on Twitter that the auction's winner actually changed his mind. So now it's fair game for the second highest bidder, which just so happened to be DJ Deadmau5. He got married this weekend, but after the festivities, he's apparently down. Workman plans to donate part of the proceeds to charity. Good for you. According to the listing, 10% will go to Extra Life, an organization that benefits sick and injured children, and another 10% will be divided among other charities. The Szechuan sauce frenzy began when the season 3 premiere of Rick and Morty aired back in April. Rick's obsession with the McDonald's Szechuan McNugget dipping sauce, a limited edition sauce, was used to promote Mulan in 1998.
Tasty.
McDonald's included a note with the sauce, too. "Justin, we finally did it. It took months, but we finally brought back some Szechuan sauce. We'll spare you the physics, but turns out dimension C1998M is a dimension where it's always 1998. 1998 every day. No smartphones, no social media. It's a weird, scary place. But they've got Szechuan sauce on the regular menu. So here we are with the precious cargo, the Szechuan sauce you remember, with some souvenirs from some of the dimensions we tried along the way. We wish we could have brought more sauce, though. But we couldn't risk keeping a portal like that open. Think about it. If you knew in 1998 that McDonald's would have all-day breakfast in 2017, would you really want to stay in 1998? Of course not. If we left the portal open, we'd have puka shells, bucket hats, and boy bands as far as the eye could see. It's too risky, even for sauce as delicious as this. A few lucky fans will also get to experience the glory, but the first bottle in this dimension is for you. Stay swifty, Chef Mike."
We're going to be hunting you. I got to get Grandpa some of that sweet sauce.
Watch out, everybody. There might be a camera in your shopping cart. Walmart, the famed Arkansas-based retailer, has, according to the Wall Street Journal, applied for a patent that will put a camera into your cart to monitor your emotions. It's got facial recognition technology with one aim: to work out whether or not customers are happy. If the Walmart Razorback eye detects an unhappy customer, it will, quote, "adjust staffing accordingly." Because, of course, the one sure way to make someone happy is for them to have adjusted staffing at Walmart. I would think some people are simply unhappy at Walmart because they're shopping at Walmart. How will this technology decide whether a person is unhappy because they can't find, say, the right handgun, or because they're in a terrible relationship with a Jersey Shore subject? Because I haven't forgot you, James Rippey. Oh, yes! They must make customers happy all the time, or that customer will leave them. Dear Walmart, please let me offer some relationship advice. Sometimes you just have to have faith in yourself. Just look in that mirror and say, "I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people will bow down before our economic might, or we will crush their very souls." GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Distribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 92.3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go visit youtube.com/geekradiodaily. God, I love having another URL to say thank you, everybody, really. You're far, far kinder to us than we have ever, ever, ever deserved, especially once he started showing up. Drop a note, won't you, please? I'm telling you, it's a couple more days and we'll get all of this snark out of our system. Well, the excess snark out of our system. Drop that note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com because we'd love to hear from ye.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
You are all weirdos.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Mwah. Good night, everybody.
Good night, suckers.
The
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Take it easy, Rick. That's dark.
Oh, it gets darker, Morty. Welcome to the darkest year of our adventures. First thing that's different, no more Dad, Morty. Oh, he threatened to turn me into the government, so I made him and the government go away. I've replaced them both as the de facto patriarch of your family and your universe. Your mom wouldn't have accepted me if I came home without you and your sister, so now you know the real reason I rescued you. I just took over the family, Morty, and if you tell your mom or sister I said any of this, I'll deny it, and they'll take my side because I'm a hero, Morty. And now you're gonna have to go and do whatever I say, Morty, forever. And I'll go out and I'll find some more of that Mulan Szechuan teriyaki dipping sauce, Morty. Because that's what this is all about, Morty. That's my one-armed man. I'm not driven by avenging my dead family, Morty. That was fake. I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce. Nuggets. I want that Mulan McNugget sauce, Morty. Mulan. That's my series arc, Morty. Hell? If it takes 9 seasons, I want my McNugget dipping sauce, about, Szechuan Rick? Sauce, Morty. That's what's going to take what us all the way to about? The end, Morty. Season 9 more seasons, Morty. 9 more seasons until I get that dipping Szechuan sauce. For 97 more years, Morty. I want about? That McNugget sauce, Morty.